Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff, here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And Beth Habager.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a great start to your Monday. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope you are safe out there. A little bit of dicey roads, sort of.
Yeah.
Nothing too much fun, at least. So be careful out there, everybody. Take a little more time if you're getting somewhere and give each other some grace. We're going to definitely give you some fun. We got our National Day of calendar in a little bit. Looked ahead. It's huge.
Ooh.
There's a ton in there. We should probably already start just to get to it all. That's coming up in a little bit. We'll, of course, get into some other fun things this morning. Have we been... Actually, I want to start the show with that, so we'll wait on that for a second. We've got a couple of interesting ones here. How many hours a day do we spend trying to look good?
Too many.
Yep. That's the correct answer, Beth. That's the correct answer. We'll get to the details a little bit later of that. We will kick off the 8 o'clock hour with our, I believe it should wrap up our strangest state laws.
Yeah.
We're up to 27. We'll see how far we can get. But we'll have some fun with that one a little bit later. We've gotten into some really interesting territory in that one, so that'll be fun. A little bit after that, we will get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to it. 9 o'clock hour, we'll kick off with the kitchens open. Looking forward to it. Melissa and Beth's great cooking show. We're looking forward to that one. And we'll have some entertainment news in there as well. I want to talk a little bit about the Chris Rock special and some other stuff that we've got going on entertainment-wise. So all that coming up for you. We, of course, have Denny Wright stories, good stories of the day as well. And we're going to lead you into Playmakers from 10 to 11 today. Join us for Playmakers every Monday, of course. It's your show to call up with your sports thoughts and feelings. We want to hear from you. Our River Kings were victorious over the weekend.
Yay!
Rejoice, my fellow hockey fans! It is awesome. There's is nothing like playoff hockey. Nothing in the world like it. Nothing even can come close to it. It's so exciting. You could feel it in this town. Even if you weren't anywhere near the Southwick County Rec Center, you could feel the excitement and the energy from this town. Congratulations, boys. Mm-hmm. They're going to be taking on the Hudson Havoc starting this Friday, March 10th. That's when the puck will drop. We'll talk more about that during Playmakers. May even have GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Peckman, in with us today. So
we'll see.
Looking forward to all of that. That's going to be a lot of fun. First, before we get too much farther ahead, Melissa, how was your weekend?
Oh, it was great. I got to spend some time with friends and went through some stuff that I needed to sort and organize and made good progress there.
Yeah, you did.
And then had a relaxing day on Sunday. Well, a little bit of work. A little bit of relaxing,
yeah,
balance that out. But
do you hire out for the organizing?
No, I go kicking and screaming to organizing, and then whine the whole time I'm there.
Okay,
so I don't know that you would want to hire me.
That no was not only perfectly delivered, but it was also very real. It was like no. Good to hear. And nice work this weekend. Mm-hmm. Very good to hear. And Beth, how was yours?
It was kind of busy, but good. I am hospitality manager for Streetcar Named Desire at the WRCT. And so they had their opening weekend this last weekend, Friday night and Saturday night, and are getting rave reviews. The production Woo-hoo! Is phenomenal. So awesome. They're going again this weekend. Thursday night, Friday night, a matinee on Saturday, and Saturday night, there's still tickets available. And it was a lot of fun to reconnect with the theater family. Mm-hmm. And then had some meetings at the church on Saturday and worship yesterday. And I have to do a little proud mama moment. Mm. My boys and two other young men in the congregation who happen to also have red hair have formed a quartet, and they call themselves the Redhead Quartet.
Yay!
And they provide special music yesterday for worship,
cute.
And they did a phenomenal job. It was so much fun to have them there.
I love those boys.
That's
awesome.
And then I got to finish it with a couple of movies. Seth and I got to have a little bit of a date, and we finally got to see The Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, cool.
Quantumania, which was phenomenal.
I loved it.
Had a spontaneous family movie night at home last night. So
I'm really happy for you guys. That's really, really cool. That sounds like a very fun, eventful wonderful weekend that you guys got to do a little bit of here, a little bit of that, and everything. That's great. I'm mostly happy that I can talk to Seth about Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I don't
have to wait until that's great. That's fantastic. That never happens. That's awesome. Mostly it's great that you guys here got to be able to do that too, though.
Yeah.
You don't get to do those kind of things nearly as much. No couple does, really. But that's good to hear. Very cool.
We are grateful for members of the congregation who love our boys enough to say, yeah, we'll come stay with them for a couple hours.
Speaking of the congregation over there, you guys host the Winter's Farmers Market.
We do.
Drove past again this past Saturday. Looked busy over there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had probably about 10 or 12 vendors there, and you never know who's going to be there. It always changes every week. We do have some that are there weekly and others that come in and out. So the energy is always upbeat, very good. We have the fry pies back. So if you like, Amish fry pies, come over to the church on Saturday mornings through April 29th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
At 310 First Avenue South, if you go to wrmoravian.org, go way over to the right, there is a more section. You'll be able to find out more about the Winter Farmers Market, about if you're interested in being a vendor or just finding out the details.
Yes, absolutely.
So I thought this would be a fun place to start, because I think whether we've been doing this wrong or not, I don't know how many of us are going to change what we're doing here. But it's still not a bad point. A while back, there was a TikTok debate about who should place the divider on the conveyor belt at the supermarket checkout.
Okay.
The person who just placed all the groceries on, or the person who arrived behind them. Now there's this. A meteorologist from Arkansas named Ryan Vaughn has started a new debate about how do you position the divider across the width of the conveyor belt or down the middle. In a Facebook post, he says, "I'm at the store tonight and notice some of you don't know how to use the divider. You need to put it long ways to trip the sensor and keep a distance. Some of y'all use it as a privacy fence." Naturally, the comments were all over the place. Some people had their minds blown, while others thought his technique was an absurd waste of space. Others joked about even more alternatives, like placing it diagonally, standing it on its end, or using multiple dividers to make shapes. That's my favorite one, by the way. That's my favorite. I like the idea of using multiple dividers, or just grabbing two dividers and treating it like you're pulling a plane in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, we're good right here. Nope, stop right there. We're going to need you to stop right there. Put the cookies down. This is how he has a divider. I'm showing Beth. And if you can picture in your head this scenario where we've all been pretty much before, everybody, I don't care, don't lie to me, everybody has put it the same way.
Yep.
A long way across. But he's putting it down the middle.
Yeah, I disagree with him.
That's insane.
Well, especially his reasoning. it still trips the sensor when it's going that way. And that way you're not, it actually, if there's a long line, you're helping out the checker. By doing it, the going it across so it looks like it's an H with the conveyor belt. Then they can get to the next person more quickly.
Maybe we should tackle this twofold.
Okay.
Let's get to the first part of this first, because we never got into this debate about who should put the divider down. I don't think there's any question. The person who, how many times have you gone in the checkout line? There's nobody there. And then you just go ahead and right from there. If there's nobody there, I wouldn't put a divider down. That seems silly, and that's just one more thing for the clerk to do.
Okay.
If there's somebody shows up after I'm already there and I got my groceries on the conveyor belt, it's on them to put the divider up. I think if I'm the only person in the supermarket, why would I put a divider up? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, if you see there's a line behind you, I could see maybe putting the divider up, maybe. But I would think on the normalness of it, or whatever is normal, considered normal nowadays, the person who comes in after you.
And I think it depends on the situation, because I've been places where I'm not finished loading my groceries onto the conveyor belt and the person behind me puts the divider up and that moves with your stuff. So then I don't have enough room on the conveyor belt to put all of my stuff down. Mm. So, it's I don't know that there is one right answer.
I don't know if there is. No, I don't think there is.
I usually put it at the end of my groceries when I'm done loading them.
Right.
If there's somebody behind me.
Right. Hmm. But if the person behind you has already put it down, you know.
That's kind of rude.
Exactly. So,
because you're not done.
Yeah. Okay, so how about that? The second part of this, then, how you put the divider? Do you put it the way that every single person in human history has always put it, or do you want to try this new way of doing this? I don't know, Melissa. How do you
of putting it like vertical instead of horizontal?
Yes.
So it's parallel with sides of the conveyor belt.
No, that's dumb.
I have
it to. It takes up so much space.
Exactly.
It does. It takes up a lot more space. And I noticed that it was not a clerk that told you to do it this way.
Exactly.
It's a meteorologist. And nothing against meteorologists or anything. We're very good friends with them. We say good morning to our friends at the WeatherEye Weather Center. I'm going to take the clerk over the meteorologist on this one. I think a clerk would understand a lot more. I've seen clerks do this. I've seen clerks set the divider down for somebody and stuff. Especially, you've got somebody who already is continuing. They're checking somebody out, and they're continuing to put their items still up there. And yet, there's another person there who's putting items up. I've seen plenty of times a clerk put the divider down, and they don't put it long ways.
Nope.
They put it just up the straight way. The way we all normally do. I also feel like Mr. Ryan here is also just kind of trying to make some noise here. Like it doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't believe that he rationally does this. I do believe that he was at the supermarket and thought of something that he could get a bunch of hits off of TikTok with. I do think that. But I don't think that he actually believes this, or he actually thinks this is a smart way of doing this or anything. The sensor part is noteworthy, but you both hit it on the head right away. The sensor gets hit either way.
Right.
But I am definitely going to try this. I may even go to the supermarket to try that, just to try this. I may not even need anything. I may just do it just to see. I just want to see the little mischievous part of, I say little, the mischievous part of me, that is not little by any means, just has to try this. Just to see. I just got to see what the reaction of people is like. I'm not going to do it when it's really busy or something like that. You know, I wouldn't do it on any crazy scenario or anything like that, but maybe you know, there's like two people in line. I might just throw it down just to see people's reactions. If anybody else does try this, please don't try it when it's really, really busy. But do let me know how it goes. I gotta know how this goes. Please let me know. You can go ahead and just direct message us on Facebook or something. For now, why don't we go ahead and take a break? We will come back with our National Day of Calendar. It's Melissa, it's Beth, it's James, taking you through your morning right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. It's time to dive into our National Day of Calendar for the first time this week, for this March 6th, 2023. And it is National Dentist Day.
All right.
Okay. Dentists are awesome.
Dentists are amazing. You talk about a thankless job. But we appreciate dentists. It's just usually not until like a couple hours after the appointment, or maybe a day or two later. You know, you're looking at your smile and it's so much better and everything. Usually you don't feel as good at leaving. If for any other reason, you're still under anesthesia or and everything.
But I love my dentist because they're really good to me. Last time I was there, I got two perfect patient discounts. Two of them.
Wow.
I think that's awesome, Mel. I didn't have a good dentist experience until my late 30s. I had some horrible dentists. Dentists that were from the Middle Ages. that literally like gouged out my jaw, took out a part of my jaw and everything. Have had some horrible. So this is all the more reason that the good dentists out there appreciate them. And if you have a good dentist, you are willing to travel for them. You are willing to fight for them.
I drive to Sparta Dental in Sparta. That's like 2 hours from here.
That's crazy. Wow. But I get it. I do the same exact thing. I did. Yes. I have had some good dental experiences since, and I will, you know, wherever that they go, I will go. That's, yeah. I hear you. So a shout out to all the great dentists out there, especially the ones with that do so much I don't know how many people realize this, and I didn't even know this until the last 10 years or so, but a lot of people in the dental world give back. It's a big thing to be able to work in inner cities or smaller areas, going to rural areas that don't always have a dentist in town, and offering their services. You see a lot of dentists do these kind of things. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. James, I got to step away from the mic for just a quick minute. We got a little issue with our news this morning, so I will be back shortly.
No.
For our audience.
No,
just
no.
So you know,
we're
fixing some problems, and I'll be back.
No, you can't go. No. Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
You guys got this. All right.
Shout out to Seth and Melissa.
Yes.
They're working pretty hard behind the scenes right now trying to get Mel's news going for us. So Beth and I will take this, and it's Hospitality Workers in Healthcare Day.
Another thankless job out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many of us have had to be hospitalized? And you'd get pretty hungry if there weren't any hospitality workers.
Yeah. Always seem to have that good bedside manner. That's the term I was trying to think of for dentists before. When you've met a dentist with a good bedside manner, like that is another one that you're going to hang on to.
Absolutely.
And same thing with this. It seems like in order to be in that industry, that's something that I don't want to say is a job requirement, but they all seem to be very good at it.
Right. They really are.
National Frozen Food Day.
Yum.
Yes. We thank you, frozen food.
Yes.
We thank you, microwaves. Every single man in the world thanks you. And every mom that's busy or dad that's busy.
So what's your favorite frozen food to just pop in a microwave?
Oh, that's
or
a great question.
Oven?
Oh, that's a good question. It used to be mozzarella sticks. But I haven't been able to find good ones for a while. It seems like all the ones I find are you throw them in the, and they're just, no, they're not good. But those used to be it. Otherwise, chicken nuggets are always great.
Oh, yes.
And whatever I made the night before. How about you?
Pizza's always a good go-to. It's a good, easy meal to have. I've gotten into getting pierogies.
Ooh, nice.
Love to do the pierogies. And then, and you can do some of those things in the air fryer now, not just the oven or the microwave. So you still get that crispiness. And, wonderful stuff.
I'm very thankful to the microwave and appreciate the microwave.
Mm-hmm.
I think the air fryer is coming closer and closer to replacing it.
Yep.
It's 'cause we all know there are certain things that just are worth it to. They take a little longer to put in the oven, but they're crisper. They taste better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like soggy food, and microwaves are just notorious for that.
Well, and with the microwave, if you try to reheat pizza in there, the crust gets all gummy the consistency of it just texture is not good. So putting it in the air fryer or the oven is a much better choice.
It has it really has opened up a whole world for people though, this industry and the ability of this. There's been a lot of not just the time and the convenience, that part of it, but the industry itself, the foods that you can make.
French fries?
Yes, like French fries,
Yum.
Beth. Like the mighty, the wonderful French fries.
Yes.
In all of its different shapes and sizes.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also thought, or I'm also thinking of the fast food industry and a lot of them getting into the fast food game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, frozen food game.
Yes.
And having a lot of their, being able to market that way.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a whole lot that has been brought to us thanks to frozen foods.
Have you found the White Castle sliders yet?
Yes. And those actually aren't too bad in the microwave, which I don't believe says very much about White Castle. But I am a huge fan, continue to eat them. I do love myself some White Castle. White Castle's good for you. No, I don't know about that. It's good for the soul. It's good for
there
the soul.
You go.
I have no idea how it'll do for your body. That part, I don't know. National White Chocolate Cheesecake Day.
Yum.
That does seem like a good
Yum.
One. Yeah.
I want that now.
I love cheesecake. I'm a big fan of cheesecake.
Well, it's made out of cream cheese, which mm-hmm. you usually have in the morning on bagels. So mm-hmm. now maybe hey. It's a breakfast food.
There you go. There you go. Gosh, the way your brain works. that's so well done by you. Yes. For now, the rest of my life, I'm having cheesecake for breakfast.
There you go. Yes.
And I have it in. I have it. Well, it has cream cheese.
It does.
And my mother has been giving me a hard time for not putting cream cheese
there
on my bagel
go.
All these years. Boom. I'm going to put cheesecake on my bagel.
There
I'm
you go. Do it right.
I shouldn't make that joke.
I'm just adding a little egg and sugar, Mom. That's all great. I'm doing.
I really appreciate it. I really appreciate what you're doing. I make that joke, but my mother would actually make me do it. Like that was my mom, how she always worked. Oh, you think it's funny, Jimmy? I'll call your bluff. And I'd always end up, very discouraged. Yep. My bluff was called. It is National Oreo Cookie Day.
Ooh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Twist apart and eat the middle and then eat. Leave it together. Dunk. Don't dunk.
I cannot. I know people say this with potato chips. I can't do this with Oreos because I have to do all of them. I've got to do all of them. I like to because I love the wafer.
Yeah.
So one of the first thing I'll do is break them open.
Okay.
And the side that you get with the cream on it, I'll get that out of the way. I'll eat it and get that out of the way. And then I take my time with the wafer part.
Okay.
It's just wafer. And then I like to just dive right into some. And so I like to do it all. How about you?
I'm not a big milk fan, but this is one cookie that I will actually dip.
Oh, yeah.
Dip into milk.
It's a perfect dipper.
Yeah. So, and I like to twist it and then eat just the cream filling and then put them back together and then eat the wafers together. Double wafer.
Interesting. I like that. I like that. Making its first appearance in 1912, the Oreo cookie actually started out being called the Oreo biscuit. Created and manufactured by Nabisco, the cookie was made from two crisp chocolate rounds filled with white cream. Standing out in Chelsea, New York City, the complex was located on 9th Avenue, a street which eventually got a name change to become Oreo Way.
Ooh.
Since that time, Oreo has been the best-selling cookie in the United States for many years. People love Oreos.
Mm-hmm.
We look at the Oreo timeline. In the 7th century AD is where everything begins. Cookies are invented. Cookies mm-hmm. may have originated during that time in Persia when sugar became more commonplace. By 1898, Nabisco Company is formed in East Hanover, New Jersey. They see the National Biscuit Company formed, which is the parent company of Oreo Cookie. In 1912, the first called the Oreo Biscuit, the famous cookie, gets its start. 1974, moving from Oreo Biscuit to Oreo Sandwich to Oreo Cream Sandwich, the name Oreo Chocolate Sandwich Cookie finally sticks. And in 2004, previously called America's Best Loved Cookie or the One and Only, the campaign changes in the early 21st century.
Okay.
I
leave for 5 minutes and you start talking about cookies.
Yeah. Okay. Cookie.
Come on, guys. I don't blame you. Cookies are amazing.
Yes.
I was just going to go down a rabbit hole of Oreo cookie flavors because there's so many.
Yeah.
But before I
had some new ones this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's so many good ones now.
There's like this toffee one and a Java chip.
The Java chip is amazing. The Java chip, if you are a sucker for things flavored coffee, the Java chip one will change your life.
Wow.
I have to say,
I think the toffee crunch was even better, though.
Interesting.
Because it had that extra little crunch inside.
Did that remind you of like a Butterfinger, Mel?
Reminded me of like a Heath bar.
Yes. No, that's a better comp. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a much better comp.
Don't they have a cookies and cream one, too?
I
haven't had that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Wouldn't
aren't they already?
Though?
Yeah. It would be. I was just thinking about it. Wait a minute.
I've been seeing the mint ones in grocery stores for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. I haven't tried those yet. I want to.
I'd rather have a mint than thin mint from the Girl Scouts.
Yeah. I have said many times, as much as I love thin mints and I love Chips Ahoy and everything, that the chocolate covered Oreo is by far and away my favorite cookie of all time. It is amazing.
And now you can do so many crafts with them because they make the mini Oreos. So if you don't, if you're traveling, you don't have to worry about trying to twist it. You just pop them in. But you can use them with the big Oreo and like make Mickeys.
I want to
covered Mickeys.
I like that. I think that there's a great debate that exists that we don't really address too often. But the Oreo or the Chips Ahoy? They are the two biggest, cookie companies in the world, both have really kind of run game for a long time. Both have been able to survive, unlike like Coke and Pepsi and Nike and Reebok or Nike and Adidas or some of the other things that are kind of rivalries and everything. These two have kind of worked like they've both been able to have their thing. You know, we're going to have over here, they're going to have over here, and both do very well in sales. Mm-hmm. So I think we might have to have a Facebook poll, Facebook question.
All right.
Which one do you choose? Oreo or Chips Ahoy? I think this is the
Oreo.
It's a big debate. I've made my claim to this already clear. I've said that the chocolate covered Oreo is the greatest cookie ever, so I kind of have to go with that. But I really love Chips Ahoy. I'm a huge Chips Ahoy fan. There's nothing better than a homemade chocolate chip cookie. I think by anybody, I think they're just amazing, yes. And that's a whole other level. But if I'm buying chocolate, it's one of the few things where I'll actually spend like the extra 50 cents or whatever, because Chips Ahoy have some kind of like cocoa taste to their embedded in their cookies. It's just so good. The generic chocolate chip cookies, they're fine.
Right.
I buy dollar sleeve, you know, where you get like 90,000 cookies for a buck. I buy those all the time. They're good. They're all right. There's not like a Chips Ahoy cookie. They're a little different.
Yeah.
Finally, it is National Dress Day. This is mostly the day for you're looking out there, ladies, for yours that special wedding dress, and you're looking to pick that out. This is the day to centered for that or special for that. I obviously don't know what I'm talking about. I'm stumbling over my words because I don't know what I'm saying.
Well, and Easter's coming up, and I know growing up having sisters, we didn't have a lot of money, so I often had to wear hand-me-downs. But Easter was the one time of year where my parents made sure that we each got our own new special dress. And so this is a great day to start going out and looking for that Easter dress if you dress up for Easter.
Yeah, really. This is just a great day to pick out a dress or look, go dress shopping, find a dress. I was thinking of the wedding dress thing because my daughter just recently got hers like last weekend.
Okay.
So that was in my head. That was on my brain and stuff. But this is about any dresses. This is, you know.
Well, and the picture is a girl in what looks like a wedding dress.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or that probably made me think that way, too, and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and isn't there.
Proms are starting to come up.
It is. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah,
there's a very special store here in Abbotsford, JP Togs, that services like 45 school districts.
Wow.
For their homecoming and, and all their dances, because there's just not a whole lot of shops like that around anymore.
That is really cool that they do that.
Dresses and tuxedos. Yeah. No, it's a really neat little shop.
Yeah, it's impressive. We are going to take a quick commercial break because what's also impressive is the work that was done by our team behind the scenes just now. Melissa, Seth, Chuck, nice work.
Mostly Chuck. Great job.
I always appreciate you, Chuck. We'll take a break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news and we'll come back and we'll have some more fun. I've got one for us. How many hours a day we spend trying to look good? Coming up on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. We'll take you on. I don't know, as close as I can get to referencing the song. Have to get that part.
Oh, absolutely. Nothing says 80s like a synthesizer.
No. The synthesizer just holds game, really. We hope you're having a great start to your week out there, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. And we're going to go ahead and talk about something they did a lot in the 80s. Worry about their appearance.
Mm-hmm.
maybe more than any other generation. Maybe any more than any other decade. The 80s were king for this.
Oh, yes.
Look at me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do everything I can to make sure you look at me. And if it wasn't that, it was, you know, it was the other style of it where I'm still want everybody to look at me, but I'm going to dress to the nines. I'm going to a suit everywhere I go or that kind of thing. For women, it was a much more poor women. My God, we've done women an injustice when it comes to fashion. I just immediately, as soon as I brought up women, the first thing that popped my head were the shoulder pads.
Oh, yes.
Why were we trying to turn 80s women into football players?
I don't know.
What was that about? What was with the shoulder pad thing?
The theory was that it makes your waist look smaller.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. If your shoulders are wider, your waist looks smaller.
All I remember is my mother finding jackets she liked and at home ripping these things out, like ripping these shoulder pads out and trying to fix them afterwards and stuff. I don't know.
My mom's shoulders were just more comfortable to lay my head on during that. Oh,
I believe that.
A nap during church. That was pretty fun.
smart, Mel. The time you spent getting ready today is only part of this. A new study found the average person spends almost 4 hours a day trying to look more attractive. That's a sixth of your life or a quarter of your waking hours.
Wow.
4 hours a day?
Wow.
That's a lot.
What are they doing? Does this include, like, showering? Because...
Let's see. Obviously, you're not spending 4 hours on makeup or choosing your outfit. They factored in everything we do to improve how we present ourselves. I don't know how obvious that is. We haven't read the article before. It's very assuming of the writer here. The categories they included are makeup and cosmetics, hygiene, hair grooming, clothing, following a specific diet, and exercising in order to look better. They also let people list things that they didn't fall into those categories. They came up with 4 hours after polling more than 93,000 people in 93 different countries.
Wow.
So it's a global average, not just for people in the U.S. And we've done a ton of these in the 7-8 years I've been doing this show. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many surveys I've seen that have been that big and that wide. Like, I've never seen 93 different countries. I've never seen that. So, you know, a lot of times I take these with a grain of salt. This one actually seems pretty, I mean, as accurate as you can get about this, at least. The average woman, the average for women is just under 4 hours. And for men, it's a little over 3.5 hours. It's not a huge difference. And people who spend more than 4 hours a day do have one thing in common, though. They tend to be very into social media. Shocker.
Yeah.
Thoughts on this one?
I think that the like point of their study, like what they wrote the paper on after all of this study, is weird.
Yeah.
Like, why is that the point? The time that we spend trying to make ourselves look better, that doesn't seem like that's what the point of those questions are. I mean, you're talking about eating, and I'm surprised they didn't include sleeping in that, because that makes you look better.
Yeah.
I mean, showering or a hygiene habit, like, I don't know. I'm just a little astonished they put that much time and effort into that study. Hopefully they got other things out of it as well.
I kind of hope so, because I don't think it's a bad question. If I'm in a room with a bunch of other scientists or something like that, or a bunch of survey takers or whatever, I could see coming across this as a thought, especially there's a lot of surveys. You know, we've asked a lot of questions. Yeah. You're trying to come up with something new maybe or something like that. And the data that you could get from a survey, like if you told me I had the money, my team has the money to survey in 93 different countries over 93,000 people, like, all right, we can get some really good data from this. Let's do this. But then, you lose me on some of the, like, you miss some holes here. I could not agree with you more, Melissa, about the sleep part.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking as the person who gets the least amount of sleep in the world, outside of, like, single moms out there, shout out single parents, I should say. I know how important sleep is to looks. My agent knows how important it is, to the point where part of my requirements, like, this isn't in my contract, but it's darn near getting closer and closer. I need to get 4 to 5 hours of sleep before an audition.
Oh, wow.
Like, she hasn't demanded this, but it's pretty much like the it has been thrown down.
You kind of need to do this, Jace.
Yes.
Well, because she's done this. She's done where, because she talks to these people after every interview, which I think is really smart. I haven't had an agent do that before. She goes out of her way to do that, and I think it's really smart. I don't know if it's annoying, but as her client, I appreciate it. But she said that I just have more energy. I look better. Blah, 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 blah. It all adds up. It just makes more sense. So, and as somebody who wants this more than her, I'm willing to do that and everything. But that's what did it for me. It took work to tell me how important that was. Not have sleep in here, I think, is a little silly. I think the whole concept, like, once you get down to this and everything, before even, like, sending the surveys out, I'd be like, well, wait a minute. Like, what are we doing here?
Did they include exercising in there?
They did.
They did. Yes, they did. Exercising in order to look better. Yeah. But they, it's, I guess they, I don't know if you have to be, like, in the survey, are they asking, do you exercise to look better?
And that's the thing.
I don't exercise to look better. I exercise to stay in shape. It's just a health thing for me.
Right. Right. And how do
a lot of this is health, like food.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how much people are doing these. Like, I don't, like, hygiene is important to me. I don't want to stink to anybody, but I don't want to stink to myself. I don't want, like, I don't like being dirty.
Hygiene can also be a health thing, too. If you're not taking care of your hygiene, it can make you sick.
My hygiene routine has, it's got to be 50-50. It's got to be, you know, for health reasons and, you know, I don't want to stink.
Practical reasons.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
And what was the age range for this?
That's a good question.
It's going to be different for a middle schooler, high schooler,
yes,
than it is for an adult. Let's be realistic here, and especially genders of middle schooler, high schoolers.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. I just ran into this a little bit with my nephews ago. My nephew Henry, I love him so much, but he was fighting his mom so bad about taking a bath. Mm-hmm. Just did not want to get in there. But you would have thought that this kid, like, it was going to change him.
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah. But I was thinking about that the other day, and I forgot all about this. I wanted to ask the audience this: what age do we get where it becomes that? We go from that to, I love a good bath. I don't know many people that don't love, like, time in the shower or taking a shower. You don't run into many adults like, oh, do I have to take a shower? I don't want to do, I don't want to do this. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Get in there. Your significant other has to make you get. You don't run into adults doing this.
No,
adults actually look forward to taking showers. I wonder what age it is that flips. Is it high school? Is it pretty? Because my first thought was immediately like puberty. That was my first thought. That's what I think it is. It's probably right there, isn't it? Now that I'm saying it out loud, it seems pretty obvious.
But I think it changes from, like, I need to take this shower so I don't stink, so I'm attractive to the other sex.
Then
there is another change where it's, I want to take this shower for me.
Right.
Yes.
Because I need to relax, and a shower is going to obviously help with that. So I think there's a couple changes there.
A little disappointed in this survey, just with all the energy and people and resources that they had for this and data they could have gotten. Hopefully, I'm with you, Melissa. I hope that they found some other information out of this. Because the 4-hour thing doesn't seem like, I mean, it seems like a nice number to throw out there for a headline.
Yeah.
But if you do a little digging, I don't know if that adds up. I don't know.
It gets you thinking, though. I mean, what do we do to make ourselves look better? Because hearing that, first thing you jump to is makeup and bathing. Wouldn't have thought about, taking the time to pick out my outfits. How long does it actually take me? Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So, you know, it gets you thinking.
It's
what are those little things that we are doing each day?
Mm-hmm. Take a break. We'll come back with some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour, Beth, Melissa, and James. And then after CBS News is done doing its thing in the morning, we'll go ahead and have a live direct update from our friends at the Weather Center. Good day for it today. Every day is a good day for it, really, especially here in Wisconsin. But it'll be a good day to talk with them about that. And then after we're done talking with our friends at the Weather Center, we are going to get into the weirdest laws in every U.S. state. We are up to number 27, I believe, or 28. We're actually up to Delaware, number 28. So we'll go into that.
Oh, good.
Right now, is this the new trend, Girl Scout cookie scalping?
Scalping?
The price of Girl Scout cookies is pretty simple and straightforward, but quote-unquote scalpers are threatening to make it more like buying Taylor Swift tickets.
Oh, no.
The Girl Scouts introduced a new flavor, Raspberry Rally, as an online exclusive, which is fine, except that it's also a limited edition, and it sold out almost immediately. The Girl Scouts say it was more popular than anticipated. So people who did get boxes of Raspberry Rallies are reselling them online at inflated prices.
No.
There are hundreds of boxes on eBay, and most of them are going for around $25 to $30, 5 times more than Girl Scout prices. And the Girl Scouts are not getting a penny of that, by the way.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If they're scalping them, I hope they donate the balance.
Some scalpers are asking for more than $100. Beth, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, not a darn one of them are sending a penny to the Girl Scouts. I would be shocked. That would shock me if one person off of eBay, if one person did that, let alone any more than that. The Girl Scouts are not happy about this. They say that when cookies are purchased through third-party sellers, the troops don't get a share of that money, and they can't vouch for the condition of those boxes. eBay will not take the listings down. They say, we strongly support the entrepreneurial spirit of hardworking local Girl Scout troops. However, the sale of Girl Scout cookies does not violate eBay policies. Last year, the Girl Scouts said the online exclusive was meant to teach new business strategies to the Scouts, because I know how much we love these cookies and everything. We let us not forget what this is all about. It is about helping young women have a foot in the business world, understand what business is about, because for a long time, women were not allowed in business.
Right.
Have we I don't think any women have forgotten this, but I don't know how about any, the guys out there, if you have or not, but this is a big part of this. What all this is about and everything. The cookies are great. I love Thin Mints. I could eat a box of Thin Mints right now within seconds. They ain't about me. It ain't about my taste buds, and it ain't about Thin Mints. But now you're getting a lesson on dynamic pricing and what happens when supply can't keep up with demand, causing the value to exceed the cost. This is one of those things that I feel like I don't expect the Girl Scouts to fix. I don't think that they should have anything. I don't blame them if they want to do something, or if they have a leg in this, or they have a leg in this, so obviously they might have a say in it or whatever. This is one where I look at society, and I look at people, and the people that are choosing to put these on eBay, these are people who are going to do this. We all know that type of person, the Homer Simpson type that is always going to look for not just a way to make a buck, an easy way to make a buck.
Right.
Not that they'd actually have to lift an arm to actually work for it or anything like that. They just wanted to make the easy dollar. I am asking people that would buy these not to. Don't.
Right.
Don't buy them. That's it. That's all you got to do. As a society, if we agree, hey, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm not agreeing to this. Then there you go. We actually used to run into this. People may ask, and I've had some ask this in the last couple of years. It's been a while, but why do you guys make people wait 30 days to buy something? Well, back in the day in WFHR, we had some cowards out there, some people out there that would win things, and then they take it right to eBay and try to sell it. It's a little different now, but back then especially, we didn't have a lot.
Right.
And we weren't able to give away a lot of things. The little bit that we were able to give away meant a lot to us around here. And we believe that our listeners deserved it. And I'll never forget being told by Carl and some other people, like, yeah, these people over here, they do this or that. And it was one of the more sad things I've heard in this industry. Like, you win something, it's yours to do with what you want. That's the way this whole thing works, and we get that. But I can't think of many more silly things than that. The idea of taking these Girl Scout cookies and doing this with it, maybe I'm missing something, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but this goes against everything that the Girl Scouts is about. It's supposed to be about helping them. Mm-hmm. You're just helping yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have, like, if you need money that badly, you need to take a look in the mirror. You need to figure some things out, because it isn't poor people doing this, okay? It isn't a bunch of poor people sitting around buying. How many poor people do you know that can buy multiple boxes of Girl Scout cookies and sell them and have the time to sit around selling them on eBay? Like, that's, I'm sorry. The people that actually could use this as far as funds or anything like that isn't happening.
So the typical price is $5 a package, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Okay, the lowest ones that I found on eBay were $6.50. The average price is like $24.99, $25. This is ridiculous. This makes me angry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't even. I would love to be able to see eBay do something about this, but they can't. They have rules in place. And sorry, go ahead, Mel.
No, you're right. It's not a violation of their rules.
Right.
You start bending here, you're going to have to bend for a lot of other things. And, you know, I get that. Again, I don't put it on them. They're a mechanical business. They're going to do what they're going to do. We as people have different choices, though. Well, you can't be sitting there agreeing with me and then go and buy some.
Right. The lesson that they're learning, though, is maybe that next year, because if it's similar to when I was a Girl Scout and had to sell them, you prepaid for the boxes that you got, and then you had to sell to be able to make that profit. Maybe some of these Girl Scouts are learning, hey, there are people scalping this online. Maybe if I buy extra and I sell them on eBay, and then I can make that, give that money back to the troop, we're making even more.
I would like to see something like that happen. I would like to see something good come out of this, that's for sure. Because I think of a lot of the discouragement that might exist for some girls out there, seeing this story, hearing about this, and what is their encouragement to sell cookies next year then? Or to go into business with ethics? Because I don't know about anybody else out there, but I am. If there's one thing that freaks me out right now, it's the lack of ethics in so many different things in our world right now. I get, like, we are way too quick to just take no ethics in politics. We make jokes about it, we laugh about it and everything, and then we are surprised when we see somebody who is currently in office who lied about every single thing on their resume. Including being Jewish, which, what the what, man? Why would you lie about being Jewish? Like, of all the things to lie about, for one, I'm not trying to be a jerk to my fellow people here, but it's not like we're one of the cooler ones or anything like that. So, you know, it's not like we can't figure it out real quick. Like, for one, we have meetings every couple months, all Jews in the world. We get together, we have meetings every once a month. It's how we decide, you know, how we're going to run Hollywood and all these other things. And our Jewish space lasers, what we're going to do with them. And at the meetings, we never see this guy. So, I mean, we knew right away that he was not one of us and everything. But I don't know. The ethics in business has also been one of those things we always make a joke about and everything. Well, we joke about things for so long, we can't be surprised when this is just normal. This has been normalized, doing these kind of things. This is not a headline. Nobody, how many people are going to be covering this story? Like, you know, we're not going to hear hardly anybody talking about this. And this is, I wouldn't say it's not a gigantic deal, but it's a big deal. It's not cool. I don't know. I hope people do the right thing on this.
I really do, too, because some of these listings are ridiculous. I'm going down this rabbit hole, James. I'm looking at five boxes for $130. $130. I would almost encourage people to contact these sellers and just say, you know, that's just wrong.
Then if you're tempted to buy that $130 instead of buying one box or those 10 boxes, go to the Girl Scout stand and buy $130 worth of boxes.
Yeah, spend that money on them.
You get a heck of a lot more cookies.
Yes, you would. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back after CBS News with a direct from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center on mornings here at WFHR.